So,
are you calling someone too?
No, I'm recording.
Oh.
So the topic is the psukim which talk about the Bershim says he's going to be makshale paroi, and how does that deal with the issue of bechira? So the Ramban says an approach which the Rambam does not go with. There's a lot of Rambam here. I'm not going to do all of it. The Ramban almost touches on this pshat, but the Sefurna says a pshat, which I want to start with. I think it's a very, very easy pshat. It's on page. The numbering system right here, this is the beginning of the Sefer, the Shmois, each Chumash is numbered separately, so the numbers on top reflect the number inside the Chumash. The numbers on the bottom reflect the beginning of the Sefer. So, say, page 329 at the bottom. So this is a piece on the support note. The Rishon wants people to do teshuva. He does not want to destroy them. So the Rishon desires that people should do teshuva. The Rishon says, because the Rishon wants that, the Rishon clearly wants that people should do teshuva. The Rishon Madavka offered that he's going to do oisos and moipsim b'zelah hashem b'tzitzvayim b'tshuva, and this will motivate Mitzrayim to do tshuva when they b'hoidiyah lehem godloi b'chaster b'oisos and moipsim, that this will be the vehicle to convince Mitzrayim to do tshuva. Don't worry, b'avur zos hematicha b'avur haroschez kochi. The Rishon says, I wanted you to see what the Rishon's what the power is. The aim is that together with this there was Hakavana Shisel Yiro Yiro, the Kaisel should see and they should learn to fear Hashem. Come right, Laman Shisi Osisa Elabikirboy, or Laman Tesaper. The Pasuk says, the Rishon says, I did this. This is the beginning of Parsha's bow. The Rishon tells Moshe that I did it in order that I should have Mitzrayim recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. At the same time, the Rishon said, I did it because I wanted that you should repeat to your children what happened. So Klai Yisrael should learn the lesson as well. Now, Vein Sofik Shalule Hakpadas Alev Hoya Parah Meshlech Yisrael Bli Sofik. No question. The power would have acquiesced and sent the Jews out. But loyal Tzad Shuva Bachnoa L'Kei Yisborach, it wouldn't be that he regretted what he had done. It wouldn't be that a tshuva process where a person says, what I've done is wrong and it's bad and I regret that I did it and I wish I hadn't done it and I want to change. That wouldn't be why he would commit. He would say, I can't deal with the pressure, so please leave. That's not tshuva. Abba Bisha Hikar as Gadol B'Tibah, he would obviously recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu's power. But the reason why he would at that point in time give in, El Tzad HaYosai built the Yochalispa Oidit Saras Amakas. So I can't deal with this anymore. I realize that I don't have the power to stop it. So please get out of here. So this way I can go back to, you know, enjoy myself. There's no tshuva in that process. That's not tshuva. Because Shegiro Avodav Lebomer Atarim Deirakiy of the Mitzrayim. V'zois lo hoisa tshuva klau. So the Baruch Hashem's real desire over here is to facilitate that power should do tshuva. That the Mitzrayim should do tshuva. They should recognize what they've done was improper, was wrong. They recognize the power of Kodesh Baruch Hu. They've done an avod to Klal Yisrael. They've not recognized the who the Bria belongs to. All these different lessons that they can learn. If the Russian did not strengthen Paro's heart, so what you give is just listen, I can't deal with this, goodbye. That's not tshuva, that's just saying goodbye. Now, so therefore the Russian says, I'm going to help you be so stubborn that you still have Bechira to choose. The Russian never took away the Bechira power to choose, according to Zipurno. But right now, as it is, without the Russian strengthening the other side, he will have no choice but to give in. So Bershom was mafbid le paroi to make it now that there's two sides that he could choose. Now, Avim Hoyer power of Chof is like Kana Lekayis Baruch. There's no question that the Supreme. If at any point in time the power says, you know what, I've learned my lesson, what I've done is wrong, I need to change, I'm really going to change. Took away his opportunity to tshuva. It means she's amit to these people as a makas. He'll be able to handle the makas and not give in and not collapse because of the pressure of the makas. The man she says, "I love you, Kibbutz." Shem Yakiru, godly v'tuvi v'yeshuva amitzriyim be'ezah tshuva amitis. So the current that is supported at the moment, it's like the Bereshim's goal over here. I want to give him an opportunity to do tshuva. I cannot give him an opportunity to do tshuva unless I strengthen the other side that they're not going to get misfall from the physical elements, and then they can contemplate and make a decision. And meanwhile, you're also going to learn from this. The Dia should call it. Ela Yifal Kel Im Gavra L'Hashiv Love. Christ, what would call you so learn? Christ, the Rishon loves mankind so much. The Rishon was willing to mutcher himself so hard to help somebody do tshuva. Mizelkashi Yifash Rishon B'Masem Meboy Aleim Is a Problem. So, according to the Sepurna, it's like Imam Shlomo's whole thing on his head. Like the whole question, not a question. The whole thing is wrong. Like it's a gorgeous piece. Mm-hmm. He says, and the lesson. What are you supposed to tell your children? I mean, the Bereshim basically, Bereshim could have came along and take the Jews out. Like we spoke about last year, right? Bereshim has nothing stopping him from taking the Jews out any given time. So that wasn't the goal. That wasn't the goal to get the Jews out. The goal was something else. The goal was a lesson process which is being taught. So the part of the lesson is to teach Klai Yisrael the Bereshim's power. The Bereshim exists. The Bereshim has control of the world, etc. And but the pasuk says that the Bereshim wanted Mitzrayim to recognize that as well. But the Purna is adding another part. The part of the story is how much the Bereshim loves mankind. That the Bereshim wants us to do tshuva, and the Bereshim is willing to do so much to generate a situation where true tshuva is possible. Because had it just pressured power, that's not tshuva. That's just throwing your hands up and saying, I can't handle this. So whatever, just leave me alone. The Bereshit doesn't want that. The Bereshit wants power to realign his thought process of what the world's about. And you find like that. And later on, you know, by Nineveh, because I'll say that you know the king of Nineveh was Paro. Paro survived and he lived all the way to the time of Yonah Navi, which is hundreds of years. And he was the king. As soon as he heard that the message that the Bereshit was unhappy, he made this decree that in the city that nobody can eat, nobody can drink, nobody ever wear sackcloth for 3 days. And they should sit and they should be fashioned for my something to do Shuva. Power got the message, finally. That there's a Shuva process. They were not Jewish. It wasn't a Jewish city. Right? But that you can't ignore Kadosh Baruch Hu's message, and you need the Shuva. Right. It's a power of God at the end. I mean, wiped out his country along the way.
Steep cost.
So, the Mashal, I think I told you this Mashal once. The Mashal, which I mean, this cute story, that's why I mean, it could come a lot of other Mashalim for this. I understand the Saburno. I think I told you once a story with Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky said over about Rabbi Yochai Maizel. Rabbi Yochai Maizel was the Rav in Lodz. So besides being a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he was
Lodz Poland?
Lodz Poland, yeah. L-O-D-Z.
What was his last name?
Rabbi Yochai Maizel.
Really?
Maizel.
My family's from Lodz.
Oh, okay. Mine too. My grandfather was born there.
I didn't know that until recently, actually.
Yeah.
So the Rav of the city, you know, in the end of the 1800s, the beginning of the 1900s, was a person named Rabbi Yochai Maizel. So besides being a Tzemach Talmud Chacham, he was a real, real sharp person. He was really on the ball. And he knew how to deal with people in the situation. I'll give you one aside. There was once a mice there was a rumor that the milkers, that the milkmen were watering down the milk a little bit. So he knew that there was no way, you know. So he calls him, he has an important meeting, he needs a meeting with all the milkers, with all the milkmen, probably an important meeting. He says, Charlotte came up to me, which is worth you know a tremendous amount of money, about a case where milk has been mixed into other items, and We need to know whether there's bottom of shishim or not. So I need to know how much water you put in. So they tell him how much water they put in. Then he turned around and gave him a Musar Shmuz about watering down the. They admitted that they get, right, you know. So, okay, so one time like this, so see, he's. So one time there was a court case in the Polish court between a non-Jew and a Jew, and the Jew was bribed the judge. And the Jew was caught bribing the judge. So there became a whole big scandal, that the Jew is bribing the judge, which is ridiculous because the guy bribes the judge all the time, but when a Jew does, it's a big thing. So they made a whole court case about this fellow. So Rabbi Chaim was asked to speak on behalf of the defendant. So he comes to the judge, he says, and they knew him well, because there's stories when he helped the police catching forgers. I mean, there was some really wild stuff that he was able to do. He gets up to speak. He says to the judge, "Your Honor, have you ever bought the fresh fish that they sell by the market?" He says, "Yes, I suppose I'll do with it, but just bear with me." Fine. He says, "When you buy it, it's like still flapping around a little bit, right?" He says, "Yeah." So how do you take it home? He says, "Like give it to you a box." He says, "How they weigh it? They weigh it in the box." He says, "But they're charging for the box. It's not fair." Ah, no, that's what they do. First they put the box on one side. Then they put some weights on the other side to balance it out. And they take note of how many weights that is. Then they add the fish. And then they weigh it again till it balances out. So sometimes the goal over here is not to overpower one side, it's just to balance it. He says, "Your Honor, I know that when a Jew and a non-Jew come into the court, you always favor the non-Jew. He wasn't bribing you. He was just trying to balance it out."
I remember from last year.
Right, you remember this
part? I guess I'm proven wrong. We did this last year.
I'd love to hear it again.
I was happy to hear it again, yeah.
So Rabbi Lugansky said, the Gemara says in Kedushin, the first parak, the Gemara says, "In pogavach manubos el mashkel beis medrash." If you meet the yetzirah, step into beis medrash. He says, "I better leave him outside." But some beis medrash, take him outside, or the step in the beis medrash. Or he says, the Gemara is not telling you that you win in beis medrash. The Gemara is telling you that it becomes an even fight in the beis medrash. That's the Gemara is telling you. Outside, you lose. That's the Gemara is saying. Outside, he's got the upper hand. You bring in the beis medrash, and now it's a fair fight. That's Rabbi Akiva. He said over this story. So to understand the Sapurna. The Sapurna is not saying that the Bereshim is all the Bereshim was the one who was making an even fight. Now power is a Bereshim. He can choose one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. That's the approach that Sapurna says. And I think there's a tremendous beauty and what he's saying, that it's a whole different lesson. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Rama doesn't go with that. Rama goes understanding that which the approach is that the power did loses kaichem bechira, and he questions with this idea of losing bechira, and the Rama basically approaches that there was an oinish that a person sometimes for the oinish for an aveira is that a person actually loses bechira. Bechira is a matana from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't have to be that, and the Baruch Hu can take it away like everything else. The Baruch Hu can take away a person's health, he can take away part of his mental health, he can take away his ability to choose. Right, that's how the Rambam's approach is. But he says, but even that, it's only because the Rosh Hashanah first gives a person an opportunity, multiple opportunities to correct. And if a person again and again and again chooses to ignore those opportunities, the Rosh Hashanah might say that now you've done an aveira, done it multiple times. You need to get an oinish. If you do tshuva, you're not going to get the oinish. So you're not going to do tshuva. I'm not going to let you do tshuva this way. Right? Now, even that, you could say it one of two ways. You could say it in the approach of the Bersham's goal is to be misnakim from the person. Or the Bersham's goal is to give the person, or it's, even when the person does Shuba, the Moor says in Yuma, there are times where there's other elements needed for the kapar. But the Rambam seems to be assuming that there's sometimes that even though the Hatzal element is needed for the Kapara, with the Tshuva comes a certain Harvach, the Bereshit is not going to punish it anymore at this point in time. But he'll never get his Tikkun. So it's a favor for the person to remove the Tshuva from him and to allow the process to play out the way it's supposed to. I want to go back a step and just to contemplate the whole thing. We're grappling with the idea that Rosh Hashanah took away B'chir from person. Like that's the philosophical issue which we're grappling with. It's not the first time we find that the Rosh Hashanah takes away B'chir from person. There's a pasuk that says Lei Malachim B'Yad Hashem Chol Sheyach Poitz Yatenu. The Rosh Hashanah will turn the Lev of the Malach wherever he wants. So the Mefarshim over there, the Malbim on this side, that means that once a person is a leader, his decisions don't belong to him anymore. Whereas this one, you're a private individual, so you make your decision, it affects you. So your Russian blade gave you a Bechira, you can choose A, you can choose B. Okay, now you're a leader of 100 million people. The Russian says, you know, these people don't deserve that decision. You can't be Bechira anymore, that decision. That's the Pasuk is saying. That's the Malbim Taich of the Pasuk, and he's not the only one who learned like that over there. That Leib Malachim B'Yad Hashem, Mechol Hashem Yach Bat Yatenu. The Leib of Malachim are in the hands of Kodesh Baruch, and the Russian will direct them where he wants to go. Now, the Russian, of course, is the ultimate chess player, right? So the Russian wants this nation to get this happen to them, so he makes them a melech, which is probably going to choose the type of things, I understand, but, right? But, so, you know, the nation will, the Russian will take the personalities. In other words, you take our political scene, right? You know, we have, you know, our president's making, you know, president after president making interesting decisions, okay? Right? You know what? Why? Because that's his personality. That's his way he is. He's about guy, but he's about this. He's about, he's about guy, about time, about clever. You know, right? That's true. But Russia made a system in the country that the only people end up in that office are about guy, about time, about clever. It didn't have to be like that. Right, the Russia could have made a different system. They voted for Moshe Feinstein to be the president. I mean, they could have been zaycha to that, but America doesn't have zaycha to have that. Right, you know. So they get this guy instead. You know, you got your dessert. I'm not the one there now. The one before us. I mean, Same. The point is, Russia has a role for the country to play. And the things are going to happen. Therefore, he puts in the office that individual who, based on his past record, is going to choose that. But what? Let's say he's not. But the Russian needs now that this is what's going to happen. Right? The Malba is saying that's tough luck. The guy, the leader, can't choose anymore. Now there's a shaila in the. Over there, it says the Velt says over the phrase "Lei Malachim Asar B'Yad Hashem." There's no such pasuk. Pasuk is "Lei Malachim B'Yad Hashem." Mm-hmm. Is dafka limited to Malachim? But Sarim is different, or the logic behind Malachim applies to Sarim as well. And therefore, the same way it's true by a Melech, it's true by a Sar. That seems to be the assumption. I gave a shul about this once after one of the interesting decisions that the previous president had made. So, before you start screaming at the guy, let's understand something. He's playing a role. The Russian was talking to us through him. So, the point I'm saying over here is that the idea that a person loses Bechira, it's not the first time we find that. The person who plays a role in a global sense is going to play his role, whether he likes it or not. So, we were saying, like, yeah, the Bereshit took away the Bechira from Paro. Yeah, he did, because he's a Melech. Right? So then the question is that it wasn't, I mean, but the nation was ready to Tshuva also. The Pasuk says, the term Tedak Yavle Mitzrayim. Let's say you learn that, the Rambam says, that that's called Tshuva. So the nation is doing Tshuva, and the king should do Tshuva. You're right. He's doing Tshuva, and the nation not doing Tshuva, that's not an option. Because the nation deserves to be punished also. So he's in the Tshuva, let the Jews out. Meanwhile, the nation doesn't get punished. They deserve, like you see very clearly, that, I mean, all of these things were laid on Mitzrayim because all the Mitzrayim had either actively or passively been involved in some way provoking and hurting Klai Yisrael. You know, so everybody, so we can't let him go free when they deserve to still be, you know, get the makas. But at some point, it seems to be like everybody was, you know, the sarim. I mean, I would assume the sarim representing the people. You know, they were like, this is enough already. Right, okay, so that's a question. But then you find that there's a Gemara. Gemara says in the Giga that Acher heard a Basco says Shuva Banim Shavim Mechutz MeAcher. The wayward children could do Shuva except for Acher. So the mayor told his Rebbe Acher was Elisha Ben Avuya, and eventually he went off to the. Acting improperly, but Remeir had been his Talmud, there's a story that Remeir is walking with Acher on Shabbos. Acher's riding on a horse, which is Aser. They're going towards the tomb, and they get to the end of the tomb. So Elisha ben Avuya tells his Talmud, Remeir, it's Chabar Zorbach, Remeir Chazorbach. You have to go back. You have to stop here. He says, you do too? He says, no, I heard this bas call which came out, that everybody can do tshuva except for me. So I'm lost. I'm done. The Mora says, even so, that Remeir said when the Lishman was nifter, he done tshuva. So, what's the conversation over there about the idea? Was he able to do tshuva or not? You find the Zohar says that a person who acts in areas of intimate, you know, areas. If he acts improperly, he is not careful with how his body acts. These type of things. Worse, he can't do tshuva. The Zohar said he can't do tshuva. The fortune said that's not true. A person could do tshuva. What it means is the Rosh Hashanah normally gives the siyata and shmaya to help a person do tshuva. That's not going to happen. He never lost the ability to do tshuva totally. But normally, when a person comes to tshuva, we have a concept. The Rosh gives help to go on that path. The Rosh says, "I'm not going to help. If you really want it, do it. But I'm not going to help." So that's why Acher also. But the pshuto of the Gemara means he lost his bechira. Right? You find such an idea that there's some point that the scenarios where the person's not going to be able to be bercher, to change. The Malbim, the Meshech Chochma said, Meshech Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says in Parashat Yisro, Gamacho Yamin Eloilim, that the Bereshim tells Moshe that they're always going to trust Moshe. What happens? When Moshe tries to be bercher, what Shai's the son of Aaron, like Moshe can go also go. He also bechira, right? He can go up to Derek, right? You're going to trust Moshe, my Ben, even goes up to Derek. I don't know. So how could the Pasuk become Moshe Ben Loelam? So the Meshech Chochma says that Moshe Benu's range of bechira was limited. That, you know, let's say if the Madrega go from 1 to 100. Yeah, to be the person who has the right to give Torah to Klai, so you need to be a 95. Moshe Rabbeinu can never go below 95. He couldn't do that. It was impossible for him to do that. He still had a choice of being Bechir, but then that 5%, the 5% on top, he had a choice to be Bechir. So he didn't lose Bechir totally. But in regards to this issue, could Moshe Rabbeinu choose to be Bechir Bara? The Pasuk says no. Gam b'choy yamin lo elam, that's it. Moshe Rabbeinu lost Bechir. Right? So there are, again, I'm pointing out there are other places where you find the loss of bechira. It's not the only loss of bechira. That wasn't an einish. Obviously, it wasn't an einish. It's not 100% dissimilar, but you know, there's a concept called Ragli Chassid of Yishmor. Whereas the pasuk in Shmuel says Ragli Chassid of Yishmor. That the Bereshim does not begin to call on Yadei Tzadikim. The Bereshim does not allow them to be in situations where they're going to fall. So the Bereshim is as a way taking Bechira from them, in a certain sense, not that they can't choose, but the Bereshim doesn't want them to choose bad, and therefore the Bereshim will prevent them from being in scenarios where they're tempted. Not that it's impossible, but at least there is, Bereshit does manipulate the world to limit Bechira. which is fascinating, because like the Rambam, when he in the Yad, when he starts talking about Bechira, like he makes like everything stand in Bechira. Bechira is like the most elemental concept of Torah, is that there's choice. If there's no choice, then the whole thing is irrelevant.
Right.
So, and that's on the one hand. On the other hand, you find the so Rousseau Salanter says the following. Let's understand the question. The Morris says a person who's in a situation to do an Aveira, and he chooses not to do an Aveira, he gets scars if he did a mitzvah. Right? So a person, let's say, who's grappling with keeping Shabbos, he's, you know, just becoming a frum, etc., and it's still a struggle, and he goes, he says, you know, he's thinking about turning on the light, and he grapples himself back and forth, and he chooses not to turn on the light, he gets scar. A person who's FFB never grapple with that issue. He doesn't get scar every time he doesn't turn on a light. The Morris says it's only when the various in time on the other, and then, you know, he chooses not. He's not being Bercher. A person who's not turning the light because that's what he's brought up, he's not being Bercher. It's not a Bechira issue. So the Mitzvah says there's something called the Kudus of Bechira. He says if you picture the, you know, the classic warfare where there was line against line. So you have the area which belongs to country X, your area belongs to country Y, and then you have the area where they interface, and that can move forward, it can move back. But you know, so a person, even that person is about tshuva, right? So he's now tshuva 10 years. He's not standing by the white light switch every Shabbos morning, you know, grappling with yes or no. So what's the scar? He loses all that scar, right?
Right.
Right? He says, no, that's not true. That if a person started out, let's again, we'll use the mashal from 1 to 100, a person started out in the lowest rung, and he chose to boom himself up, and he got to 50. And now 50 is by him is a given, he doesn't grapple that anymore. Every time, the rest of his life, he doesn't do that anymore, he gets scars if he had a choice. Because the reason why he's there, because he chose. He chose to move himself there. If he's born at 50, he doesn't get scars. But anything which he himself acquired by moving the line forward, that's his.
That's interesting.
So he says that's why the Rambam says that the calculation, the figure out the person's mitzvahs and averus, only Kadosh Baruch Hu can figure that out. Because how can you calculate the things which we've accomplished, or vice versa, the things which we've done wrong, which allow us now that we find certain areas which some of the enemy's winning, so he conquers territory, and now I feel I can't deal with that anymore. I don't have Bechira, as it were, right now to deal with that. I'm not ready to deal with that issue. But once upon a time you were ready to deal with that issue, and now the reason why you have a problem with it is because you chose. So every time you quote unquote you're an oinus, you're not an oinus, because it's your fault. So every time you get an oinish, as if you chose, you get an oinish because you're not an oinish. Right? I can't say that phrase. Yeah, I had a rebbeim, but two rebbeim like that. A bunch of one time someone oinish and an oinish. I was like it was horrible. There was more of a ravasi and ravashi. Ravasi kuzok, ravasi kuzok, ravasi kuzok. They were like that's part of being a Talmid Yeshiva. So you don't get your oinish. You know, the oinish doesn't go away because it was your fault. So he says, he quotes from himself, he says, only Kadosh Baruch Hu can figure this out. Because there's so many, it's because I made a decision when I was 20 years old, therefore I'm here where I am, and therefore I have a problem with this issue, which had I made a decision, I would not have the problem with this issue, and therefore it's all my fault. Or vice versa. That's an awesome, that's a mind-boggling calculation. But it's not exactly the same. But you see that there's he's accepting a concept. Now there is a fascinating. Dessler has a had a cousin named Eliezer Dessler. Same as name as him. But like a generation, a child of a cousin. Wrote an article in the Jewish Observer, somewhere in the 80s probably, maybe in the 70s, somewhere in the 80s, So what's he saying? There's no bechira. Like he's taking a bechira. Says that doesn't mean that doesn't sound correct either. So of course there is a bechira. It's just that in general we're going to assume that you're not going to be making those decisions. There can be extraordinary moments where a person will make extraordinary decisions. So a person who's that's the rights that you know that. So the person who. He has the kuzma bechira. He's okay. He's a highwayman. He's a bandit. He's not changing right now and choosing not to steal. That's not where he's grappling with right now. He could, at some point in his life, do that. But right now, that's like a given for him. That heals it. It would be almost at this point. There would be a tremendous upheaval for him to make that change. He's grappling with should he commit murder every time? That's his malkin where he's choosing. You have the trend of tzaddik. He's not grappling with should he commit murder. He's grappling should he say three words lashon hara a day or two words lashon hara a day. Right? But everybody has bechira.
Right. He
says that's something more. The more says in brachas that that Bruya told her mayor he had these people in the neighborhood which were bad people. He says instead of saying that he should die when they should die, he should die when they should do tshuva. So right. The Marshal says you can't tell that you take away their bechira. Right. So that's just says they don't take away bechira, just moving it. His tefillah wasn't they shouldn't be bechira. You're always being bechira in any given day. You're only choosing between a certain amount of things, right? Theoretically, if we'd be true bechira, we wake up in the morning, we have to decide: do we want to get up? Not going to get up. We have to decide, do we want to put on tzitzit or not put on tzitzit? We have to decide, do we want to wash our hands or not wash our hands? We have to decide, do we want to daven or not daven? We have to decide, do we want to put on tefillin? We're not making all those decisions. Those are givens already by us. That's not bechira.
To me, because it's like a habit.
Theory it is, but...
Whether it's a habit, or it's just because I've established that this is where my life is. I chose it. It wasn't, you know, it's not bad. But I'm not being bechira at that moment. What am I being biker? The person comes along and says, you know, I'm having difficulty focusing on davening. I'm going to work on focusing on my davening. That's where I'm working on. And I'm choosing today to do a little better. Tomorrow I might do a little worse. That's where I'm being biker. Right? So now I said, you know what? I daven with the person, you know, that he should. So this fellow over here, right now, his problem is he does ritzicha. Right? That's where he's grappling with. And I move him now that his problem is, you know, davening with kavanah. I didn't take away his bechira. I just moved it. That's the rights. So, but that being said, in our minds, it means there's certain avarias which he's no longer grappling. We've taken away his bechira. He's not grappling with them anymore. Latoiv in this situation, right? And whereas, so, but there is such a concept. I mean, again, it's impossible for him to be bechira. Right, this person now who's, you know, Baruch Hashem, that's not his anymore, you know, he could choose to go back to that path at some point. He can make a bad decision which leads him back down there.
Right.
It's not impossible, but it's not probable.
Right.
So the Baruch Hashem has affected his behavior. But what Sardesha says, that's not true. He hasn't affected his behavior because he still has what to choose about. So say the same answer by Paro. This is not what you're going to be grappling with. You've been grappling with this. This you're not grappling with. I'm not, you know, that's not where you're going to grapple. All right. So, as much as you dray the Shiloh, I'm pointing out again, you know, different places where you see that Bechir is not such a given. I'm going to go totally as an aside, because it's fascinating. The Rambam makes in the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam in Sefer HaMaala, he talks about Bechira and Hilchos Tshuva. He has a whole parak in Bechira, because he says Bechira is the foundation of everything. And then here I'm saying, like, you know, but not here. Like, you know. So I just, this is totally an aside, but I just want to point out that you have such a concept in other places. Kalgan obedin, much like a raya, right? Like possession is 9/10 of the law, right? Much like a raya. It's like there's no, you can't budget, except when a person who makes sure doesn't make the shul, and except when you know there's a non sahari that people don't pay to his manu, and except when like there used to be some of those exceptions, like you know, like wow, what happened to much like a raya, you know. we work like that, you know, that we make these broad statements, and knowing that they're not as broad as they are, it sounds like. But, you know, to the unsuspecting, they sound pretty broad. Like, you know, Moshe Mahalarai sounds like, wow, like everything Moshe Mahalarai. I mean, that's like, you know.
So what would Paro's new Bechira now be? He's not following the Sephorno, he's saying...
No, I'm saying that about something.
So
you
according to the Rav Dessler, what would...
According to the Rambam, that the Rambam, he lost his right to choose about this. Doesn't mean he didn't have other things he could choose about.
So, okay, not related to this.
Right, no, I'm saying... but the Rambam says, the Rambam's answer is the Bresham had a purpose for the world, which... that he needed to bring because what they'd done was so improper, and he gave the Breshem gave him a presumption to tshuva. The Breshem had to bring an oynish to them. To he promised to Abraham that they're going to be punished for what they had done if they would choose to do this, which they did. The Breshem had no choice but to prevent the tshuva, because that would have taken away the Breshem's right, as it were, to give them the oynish. It's not so far from the concept of Leim Lachem Masor B'Yad Hashem. The Bresham has a plan for the world, and the Bechira is going to be impacted. There's a piece from the Ramchal. The Ramchal says that the Bresham has two Anhagas in the Bria. He has an Anhagas which he calls an Anhagas a Yichud, and an Anhagas which he calls an Anhagas which he also refers to as Masel. And then there's an Anhagas of Skarbar Inish. Is this familiar territory? You spoke about this before? No. Okay. He said the Rosh Hashanah has two ways he runs the world. Schar Ha'Inish is very simple. You do mitzvahs, you get rewarded. You do mitzvahs, you get punished, etc. It doesn't look like that's how the world runs. He says the Rosh Hashanah has a goal for the world. The world has to get from point A to point B. And everybody has a role that is supposed to play in that world. And the Rosh Hashanah is moving the world from point A to point B. The final point B will be the Yichud Hashem. We'll recognize that there's nothing else but a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bereshit is totally dominant in power, in history, etc. That's the final goal. Everything is being moved to get us to that point. He says that's why it's called Masel, because the word Masel is the word of flowing, nosel, to flow. The world is flowing towards that goal. Mm-hmm. Everybody's given a role to play in that picture. That's their Masel, he says. Mm-hmm. That will, as it were, impact Bechira. His Skarva Einish. Right? It will impact Skarva Einish. Like, well, this person, because he's a tzaddik, deserves to be richer, not to live in such, you know, squalor. But his role in the world is to grapple with this and overcome it. And that's the role he has to play to bring the world to its final goal. So he's not going to get, you know, he gets such a tremendous mitzvah, you know, let him know that's not his goal, that's not his purpose. And vice versa, the Russia who's supposed to grapple with misappropriating the money, even though all these areas, still gets to keep his money. You know, live b'shalom b'shalva, as it were. But that he says, so, but how the Russia, you know, combines it. So he says the Russia is a good chess player. He finds a way to have these two things, for the most part, not a serenity job. So you can have what seems to be Skarbar Inish playing together with the Yichud Hashem, but there are going to be moments where it's not going to work. Where the goal, the Yichud, which is that's the primary element, will affect the Skarbar Inish, and the Russian will find a different way to compensate. So therefore the Tzaddik will get his Skar in Olam Haba, which doesn't take away from his role that he played in Olam Haza. And he'll get even more Skar in Olam Haba. So that's Mershom's way out to deal with it, that at the end the balance sheet should be equal. Within that, in that framework, you have individuals which are going to play roles, because that's their role that they have to play. Did they have Bechira to choose otherwise? Those are hard questions, you know. That's we're getting back now to the philosophical issue of the person knows everything, knows every role every person is supposed to play, so can we choose otherwise? That's where we're stuck now. We move the question to that philosophical issue. So Paro, the Rambam is saying, Paro, due to all the circumstances up at hand, is to play the role, to be the vehicle, to bring out the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as when he brings the Oynish on Paro, to Paro couldn't do anymore. That became the Ha's role that he had to play. So that's Leim Malachim Mitzor B'Yad Hashem. Leim Malachim B'Yad Hashem L'Chol Yishe Yach Patsi Yatana. Rosh Hashanah is going to move it as he sees fit, because that's what he needs to do. Okay. The Barbanel says one, it says over here, page 327. The Barbanel, so he says a fascinating thing. So what's the question? The parsha do tshuva, they should not get an oinish. Where does this come from, this yesod, that tshuva takes away oinish? But that was the question.
Oh, I thought that was always
done. Right? Where does that come from? He says, that's not true. We have a person who was describing Besdin Misa for Chilul Shabbos, and he says, I feel so bad, I really have never shut the truth. He does Vidui, and he does a Chet, and he does Harata, that's the thing, and we still kill him. Besdin still kills him. So that's not the question. The question is, forget, but that's Besdin's, you know, but the Baruch Shalom, when he's punishing, Tshuva takes away the punishment. So the truth is that's not true either. The more in Yuma at the end says that you know certain averus tshuva is makaper, certain averus tshuva and yisurim is makaper, certain averus tshuva and yisurim and Yom Kippur is makaper, certain averus tshuva you need mis also, right? It's not automatic.
But that's because the Beis Din doesn't know if the teshuva is sincere or not.
That's a possibility, but even if they would know, they still can't. There's a chiyuv misa. Chiyuv misa is because of the chiyuv misa. Eliyahu Novi comes to you. I mean, may you know Shemayim, or Eliyahu Novi, Moshe Rabbeinu come down. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you, Tshuva Gemura. They still kill him. He says he said like this: Reuben kills Shimon. He does Tshuva Gemura. He still kill him. So Reuben's chiyuv misa for killing somebody. He can do all the tshuva in the world. He still chiyuv misa. So the once there's been an interface in this world, the Rosh Hashanah can do whatever he wants. The Rosh Hashanah can say, okay, you know, I want to punish you, I do tshuva, no punishment anymore. Once there's an interface in this world, either because the bear was ben adam l'chaver, right? The person says, I'm not moichel ben adam l'chaver. You do all your tshuva you want, but the person says, that doesn't work ben adam l'chaver. So you get the other person's nisratza. Russia says, so I can't help you. It was to me and you, you know what? And then just in Shemayim, there's no Besdin involved, etc. Russia says, you know what? You did tshuva, everything's wonderful. It's between me and you and Beryl. And Beryl says, I'm not Michael. So I says, Russia, I can't help you. That's what Russia says. Right? So but we're going to have to, whatever Beryl is deserving in Allah, he's going to get. So not only that, when once it's put in the hands of Besdin, even if it's been on the Malkum, so the person did have a deserve. It didn't hurt anybody, quote unquote. But once it's in the hands of Besdin, they're going to kill him, whether he's a tshuva or not. Paro did an avla, and Mitzrayim did an avla to the Yidden. Moshe says, so you did tshuva, one, I'll get the tshuvas. What does it help you? Still getting an orange. Where's tshuva relevant to this conversation over here? The parah says, you know, mamish, but he says, you still deserve an oinish. You hurt somebody, you're going to get punished. So he says, so this parah lo levad chot el halakim bebem unusav hanifsadis al gam Yisrael osa chamas gadol ki meyar shagaz Hashem yisborach aleim liyar gerim ba'orz tov lahem. The Rishonim said that they're going to be in this nation, and they're going to be enslaved. They went way beyond what the Rishonim. The Rambam says, I don't understand. The Rishonim says, listen, there's going to be a nation which is going to enslave and afflict the Jews. So they did it. So what do you want from them? Why should you get punished?
Right.
So the Rambam says that they didn't have to be the nation. So the Rambam says, I don't understand what that means. You're saying that this is the Kiman Apostle. So the Mitzvah says, I want the schools to be Mekiman Apostle. Right? So the Rambam says, I understand this. Betsim, it's a Medrash. The Rambam quotes a Medrash. Medrash Parsha Mishpatim says, this Apostle. Commercial records. Can they see Yerushalayim Lisir and Kina Gadol? Rosh says, "I'm going to take revenge for Mitzrayim for Yerushalayim." The Ketzav Gadol and the Ketzav Lagoyim Hashananim. That I'm going to have, I have great anger on these tranquil nations that are sitting very, very comfortably. I got a little upset with the Jews, and they went way beyond. They pushed the envelope.
The Egyptians pushed the envelope.
So, well, that's the posing of the card. He's talking about, you know, in the future. But the Medrash in Mishpatim says, applies it to Mitzrayim. The person says, yeah, I gave a list of what's supposed to happen. And then he said, that's three times the list. Right? So the Ravid says, on this kasha, he brings this pasuk of Zechariah. So they got it right, because that's what the Rabbi was saying. Like, you know. Now, what the words mean it needs to be explained. Because what do you mean you did it to a person more than the person wants them supposed to happen to? So means the person says he's not supposed to die, but I'm going to kill him anyway. How does that fit with the idea of Hashkacha of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Different conversation. But he says, "Well, then Emor Lavram, the Gemara says Gashir, but because the Russians knew that's what's going to happen. Yisomer Kiva the Russians Zadu Aleihem. The problem was because they didn't. They had this Zodun Libam. They had this cruelty. The Fishim is Zodun Asu. They did it. It wasn't because they that's the role they're supposed to play. They did it because they wanted to." So they went beyond, and they did it for the wrong reasons. And therefore, I don't want Moshe mates. That's been on the Malkim. But this has been on the bunch of Mariam Kriya Mishpat. So that's the first point. Then he says the Chuva Shni Shenisi. Shinea Mishpat is a Yosher Vadin Aboruhu Shanevish Akotas Hitomas. The Russian says, listen, I created man. I gave him life. I only give the life because I want to give the life. If you do something against me, I don't want to give the life. End the conversation. You should die. It makes sense. You get exactly you deserve. Tshuva is a tshuva. He chesed elyon merkayis baruch. Tshuva is a chesed. It's not a given. It's a matana from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a special matana for Klai Yisrael. That he builds up in a second. And he says, the Russian is saying this is who he is. The Bereshit presented in such a way that Paro can make a mistake, and Paro chose to make the mistake. Right? The Bereshit took away the dam. Paro said, "Ah, garnished. It wasn't really real. Like, really? Right? Yeah, Paro chose that." It's not logical, but that's part of Bechira. I mean, Bechira is a lot. You know, the Ramat Katz mother said is that Magul Masecha Hashem Moedom Kamach Shul Masecha. The person's works are great. They're deep to understand. Ishbar Lo Yeda Oksil Yivin Esayis. So Pashem Shad the Pasuk is the person's creation. What he created is phenomenal, and these people don't understand. Mother Katz said a different shot. He said, the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation, that it's possible to have a world where an Ish Bar Lo Yeda. That's the greatest thing the Russian created in the world.
Wow.
That you have this like obvious world screaming at you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Din and Mishpat and Hashkacha, etc., and people don't see it. It's the most mind-boggling thing in the world. That's the biggest plea of the whole Bria. That's the biggest plea of the whole Bria. That's Pshayach not to deny Hashem. Paro's like, looks like to us from the outside, Paro looks like an idiot. He was an intelligent person. And we've met people. I mean, we do it to ourselves, you know. But, right? We've met people like that, you know, very intelligent people, but they just don't see it right. And they make stupid mistakes, stupid decisions. How's it possible? That's part of the Rosh Hashanah Bria. That's the concept called Bechira. So Paro, when the Russian was Machaliba, the Bible says, it doesn't mean the Russian went and hardened his heart. It means he gave him places to make mistakes. And Paro chose to make the mistakes.
That's interesting.
So that's his approach.
It's a little similar to the Sephorno in that there they didn't bother him, so he was able to make the decision.
Right, he was. They're sharing that point, but the Kurdish Sephardim was even more. The Russian was Poshet Badafka, strengthening his heart to give him ability to be comfortable to make the decision, have two sides. In order that he's Zarek of the Tshuva, and according to Barbanel, there's not going to be any Tshuva over here, and the Russian knows he knows he's dealing with a fool. And all he needed to do was give him a little bit of slack, and that's what's going to happen.
Right, there's no hope.
So even though he was 100% had the right to be Boicher, Bereshit did not touch that at all. But the Bereshit knew who he was dealing with. It's like telling your kid, listen, you can be, you know, tell your child, listen, you can be Boicher, no problem. He says, do you want the candy or not? You know you're dealing with what the choice is going to be. And he has total Bechira. Right? I mean, according to Esther, maybe not. I'm saying, but then I'm saying, but. I mean, he has theoretical Bechira, total. Yeah. I know what the answer is going to be. So the person said, listen, I'm going to make it, you know, very heavy. I'm going to give you a little thing to make a mistake on. You can make a mistake. I know what's going to happen. That's what the person means. I'm going to make it hard. That means the person is going to prevent him from choosing. He's just going to give him those type of things. That's his mahalo. Okay, so.